Section 5. The aim of this book. This book will advance the debate in two respects. It will survey the most relevant evidence for and against the historicity of Jesus, and it will do so with the fewest unnecessary assumptions, testing the simplest theories of historicity and myth against each other. But one thing this book is not is a comprehensive survey of all evidence, theories, and arguments of mythicists and historicists alike. Though one can begin to explore the history of this debate and the many different theories of both sides by following some of the references throughout this book, in chapters 2 and 3 especially, my aim is not to attack or defend any particular scholar or work, but rather to construct the most defensible version of each position, which in either case will be a simpler and less ambitious theory than any heretofore defended, and test their relative merits against the most pertinent evidence. But since this book intends only to begin, not end, a proper debate, I hope to see it carefully critiqued by experts in the field. I want to see a scholarly and constructive debate develop that will advance the entire discussion, resolving matters of methodology if nothing else. Such a debate should already have begun over the release of Proving History, but hopefully also making a clear, objectively defensible case, either for or against the historicity of Jesus, one that all reasonable experts can agree is sound. In his own excellent book on the origins of Christian myth traditions, Burton Mack provides a list of scholars and their recent diverse work that needs to be synthesized and applied to reconstructing the origins of Christianity, which provides a major example of the kind of work that really does need to be done. Like Mack, throughout this book, I will cite many scholars whose work also needs to be synthesized and applied to the same result. Above all, historians need to apply serious energy to resolving the issues of dating and authorship surveyed in Chapter 7. Since the theories I will compare here are the minimal ones, the simplest possible theories that I think have any chance of explaining the evidence, many on both sides of the debate will want to do one better and defend more elaborate theories of historicity or mythicism. But if mythicists want to expand on a minimal theory at all, or conversely, if historicists want to defend any more elaborate theory of historicity than I present, I ask that they do so responsibly, with sound methodology, according to the standards set out in Proving History. Even if you reject those methods, you must replace them with methods more defensible. So you have to defend those alternative methods, which means you must demonstrate that they are, in fact, a more defensible means of getting at the truth. In other words, that they will produce reliable results that we can all trust. And above all, to advance beyond the present work, mythicists need to be as restrained in their claims and as rigorous in their dependence on evidence as they expect historicists to be, and vice versa. Finally, however, one last remark is needed on mistaking Christian apologetics for objective or even mainstream scholarship, a point I'll briefly revisit in the next chapter. It will not be the aim of this book to debunk apologetic reconstructions of the historical Jesus or the origins of Christianity. I take only secular scholarship seriously, which doesn't mean secular scholars, since a great deal of secular scholarship is produced by the devout, but rather scholars who rely on secular methods and principles of scholarship, a good example being the late Raymond Brown. Because apologetics differs from scholarship, apologists ignore methodological distinctions between the possible and the probable in order to maintain the defensibility of a religious dogma. But that isn't how objective scholars behave. If it is realistically possible that Jesus didn't exist, then it is no longer possible to argue that we know he existed. We can only argue that he may have existed, or probably did. This would not be an unusual result in the field of history, but on this specific subject, it presents a threat to traditional religion, a threat recognized by Christian apologists who will disregard facts and logic in opposing it if they have to. This threat to religion is also recognized by many mythicists who do indeed have an agenda against Christianity, some perhaps spiteful, though most simply out of ire against apologists whom they perceive as having lied to them and manipulated the evidence in defense of completely untenable theories of historicity. Some mythicists thus conflate what apologists argue, a triumphalist theory of the historical Jesus, with what is far more defensible, a far more mundane theory of the historical Jesus. And in justified outrage against the former, unjustifiably attack all historicity, even the most defensible kind. This approach must be discarded. as must the apologetical kind. Neither should be accepted as legitimate. Both are driven by agendas to exclude credible and objective methods and claims.